Let me invite your attention tonight to the book of Psalms, to the 135th Psalm, if you will, Psalm 135, and I'm going to read a verse of Scripture there, and we'll be in the Psalms a good bit, but a few other places we'll go to in the Word of God, and it is Thanksgiving time, and I think it's always good to be thankful, and want to speak to you about one thing that we ought to be thankful for, all right? Psalm 135, if you will, look down in verse 3. Psalm 135, verse 3, the Bible says, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant." we say it. We say that we believe it. And we talk about it. You say, okay, well, what's it? Well, it's the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The Bible said there in verse 3, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. We even sing about it. There's a chorus I used to, we were at youth camp, we sing it a lot. It's God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I tell you what, He is good to us, and if there's one thing we ought to be thankful for, we ought to be thankful for the goodness of God. And if I could tonight, let me just give you a few things about that and a few examples of maybe why I say we ought to be so thankful for the goodness of God. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is just a marvelous verse in the Bible, great truth. Matthew chapter 7, and just look at one verse here, verse 11, if you will. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. The Bible says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him." Give good things, all right? He gives good things if we ask. What a privilege it is we have to pray. We pray. Now, I've said it before too many times. I think we only pray when we're backed into a corner. You know, when we've got some problem or there's some great trouble, and then we say, well, I'll pray. Well, the truth is we ought to pray all the time. We ought to pray about everything. We ought to seek God's will. We ought to pray about things and ask Him for things. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And now, I don't mean that you ought to say, now, Lord, would you just give me $1 million and it'd solve all my problems. Now, that might solve the problems you have right now, but it'd give you a whole bunch of other problems, all right? It would just give you a whole bunch of other ones, you know. So the Lord says, hey, he gives good things to those that'll ask, if we'll just ask. But I'll be honest, I think it's a lot better than that. I believe He gives good things to folks who don't ask. Even if you don't ask, God gives good things. If you stop and think in your life, you've gotten a lot of things that you didn't ask for. They were good things. All right? They were good things, and they were provided for you. God does that to His children, all right? He gives good things. And, man, what a good thing to thank Him for. And you say, why does He do it? Because He's good. Because He's good. I've heard people complain and want to accuse God of being vengeful or not loving. But that is totally wrong, all right? Totally wrong. He's a good God, and He gives good things to those that ask. He goes beyond that. Look in Psalms 103. 103, if you will. The kind of things that He gives are better than the kind of things we get and we give sometimes. Because the Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 5, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things." With good things. You say, well, who's it talking about? Well, go to verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And you'll notice verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth? Verse 4 says, who redeemeth, all right? And verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He satisfies. The good things that he gives satisfy us. Satisfy us. I've noticed some people are never satisfied. Never satisfied. You remember when you were a kid in maybe elementary school? And I know when I was a kid in elementary school, they would go around and we would decide, you know, we'd draw names for Christmas. And, you know, you'd buy some Christmas gift. And I can remember people opening their gift and going, does anybody want to trade? They weren't satisfied. They weren't satisfied. I've noticed kids, oftentimes, no matter how much you give them, they're not satisfied. And it's a good thing us adults are never that way, right? We're never not satisfied. We're always, yeah, well, that's a joke, kind. Hey, the truth of the matter is the thing God gives, they satisfy. Satisfy. I think about the salvation he gives when you call upon him, ask him to forgive you for being a sinner and ask him to save your soul. That salvation is satisfying. It satisfies that longing that's in the heart of man. There's people that they've got a longing. They don't know what it's for. They're not sure what it is they want or what it is they're looking for. But man, if they come to the Lord and he gives them salvation, they find out that's what it was, that's what I was looking for, and it satisfies. Hey, he satisfies with good things. Good things. You know, good things that he gives. James chapter 1 and verse 17, way over in the New Testament, we're talking about satisfying with good things. Here's one thing we need to remember. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, the Word of God says this, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift cometh down from above. Now look, every good gift you've got that's been bestowed upon you, you need to remember it came from above. It came from God. The truth of the matter is, if you're here tonight and you're able to get around, you're able to negotiate, you're able to do, you're able to eat and enjoy the food you eat, good gift from God. Good gift from God. We usually look forward to Thanksgiving time, and we usually look forward to overeating on Thanksgiving. And everybody has what they imagine as the good gift, you know, and the good food that you'll receive and what it is that's going to be down there. Everybody has their own view of it. Some people love pumpkin pie, all right, and they look forward to that, and you're welcome to it. I don't like pumpkin pie. Never have liked pumpkin pie. I don't like pumpkin anything, all right? I don't care, you know. If you like a pumpkin spice latte, you go ahead and enjoy yourself. I don't care for them, all right? But now, if you got a pecan pie and it's made right, I got my hand up and my plate ready, all right? You know, those are good things. Those are good things. I'm glad that I can eat those kind of things. I hear people talk about, and multitudes of people, more and more people you hear, they have allergies and they can't eat this, they can't eat that. Hey man, if you're able to eat, you just be thankful to God. Good gift, good gift. God's good to you, all right? And he satisfies us with good things. But there's something else, Psalm 52. Would you look in Psalm 52? We're talking about being thankful for the goodness of God. Psalm 52, that goodness of God, we're to be thankful for it, because Psalm 52:1 says, why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Endureth continually. Boy, we're thankful for the goodness of God because it endures. It's there. God's good all the time. All the time. There's no shortage of the goodness of God. You think, well, it ran out before it got to me. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. God's good, and His goodness is displayed continually, all right? Continually. It doesn't run out. Doesn't end. This is great shopping week for a lot of people. But they'll advertise something, and sometimes I'm convinced stores advertise, and they've only got three of them. They've got three of them, and by the time you get there, because you're the fourth person through the door, by the way, they just got the last one. Man, aren't you glad the goodness of God is not that way? Yeah. Well, I was lined up for the goodness of God, but I was one person late. You don't ever have to worry about that, all right? Because the goodness of God's not going to run out. It's not something that's in short supply. It endureth continually, continually, down through every generation. The psalmist wrote here years and years and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. He penned the psalm here. But the goodness of God's been available then, and it's been available ever since then. And it never ran out. It won't run out in your time. God's goodness is there. Never runs out. We can rejoice in that and rejoice in the fact that, hey, His goodness is going to be there. When I wake up in the morning, God's goodness will be there. It's available. We don't have to worry about, well, man, I guess this is it for that, you know. No, it's there. I like it. It's never discontinued. Never discontinued. I don't know if you run into that stuff I like. Oh, well, that's discontinued. We don't make that anymore. And, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's glasses that I wear, oh, we don't make those frames anymore. My mom wore frames that were from the 18th century, I think. They were old, and she liked them, and you couldn't get them again. I mean, that was it. They discontinued them long time ago. I don't care whether stuff is in style or not. I like that. Stick with it. That's discontinued. We don't have that anymore. They don't make that anymore. Hey, aren't you glad the goodness of God's not that way? Not, you don't have to worry about being discontinued. It endureth continually. It endureth continually. Boy, that's a good thing. But hey, look, Psalms 145. We're going to look at two verses for this one, all right? Psalms 145, and then we're going to go to Romans chapter 2. Psalm 145. So if you'll get that maybe in one hand, all right? And go to Romans chapter 2 in the New Testament. I want you to see this about the goodness of our God. The goodness of our God. It's just there. It doesn't run out. Never discontinued. It'll always be there. Romans chapter 2. And I'm almost there. All right. Romans chapter 2. Now, back in Psalm 145. The Bible says this down in verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Now you hear that? The Lord is good to all. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 says this, for there is no respect of persons with God. There's no respect of persons with God. Well, I was born wrong side of the tracks. Doesn't matter. If you were born on the wrong side of the track, the right side of the track, or on the tracks, all right? It doesn't make any difference. The Lord is good to all. His goodness knows no favoritism. Knows no favoritism. You can count on the Lord. It doesn't make any difference. If you're rich or poor, God's good. God's good, all right? If you're black, white, polka dot, it doesn't matter, all right? God's good. God's good. There's no favoritism in that. If you're male or female, doesn't matter. God's good. He's good to all. He's good to all. Young or old, doesn't matter. Young or old. Now, I'll tell you this. I think the older you get, sometimes the more you appreciate the goodness of God. But it doesn't change the fact of the goodness of God. When I was a younger person, especially as a child, I never thought a lot about the goodness of God. But older, as I look back on my life, I look back and see, he sure was good to me right there. He sure was good to me right there. And I didn't see it, didn't understand it at the time, but looking back, I can see it better. Hey, he's good to all. No favoritism. No favoritism. We have that problem with people. People, I always tell them, Trey, I said, you're my favorite grandson. He looks at me and said, Grandpa, I'm your only grandson. But you're still my favorite, all right? And so I try to get that across to him, you know. But now, truth is, don't want to show favoritism. But if you're not careful, you being human, where it's easy for us to show favoritism. It's real easy for us to feel that way, even if we try not to show it. All right? Even if we try not to show it, we need to be careful. But God's been good to us. He's not that way. He doesn't look at any one of you out there over anybody else in here. It's an even situation. It's plain, you know, it's level ground. No favoritism. That's the goodness of God. Can I say that right there ought to give you pause to say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Now, I do believe this. I believe you can bring on more of the goodness of God on you. You said, what do you mean? Well, go to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations. You said, where is that? It's between Genesis and Malachi. All right? Right after the book of Jeremiah. All right? The book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations is a small book. But I believe you can attract more of the goodness of God to you. All right? You can attract more of it to you. You say, well, how can we do that? Well, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 says this, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The Lord is good. You said, preacher, wait a minute. You just said he doesn't show favoritism. He doesn't. But you can bring more of the goodness of God upon yourself. Oh, well, that's favoritism. No, it's not. No, that's not favoritism. You know, somebody may tell you, hey, wait on me. I'm coming. Just wait on me. I'll be there. And somebody says, well, I'm not waiting. I'm going on. And so here comes that person that asked you to wait. And they said, well, where'd Homer go to? Well, he got impatient. He couldn't wait. Well, I guess you can have that homemade cookie I made for him and for you. You get the illustration? Sometimes God has things for people that'll wait on him. People that'll wait on him. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But with us, we get impatient. We want things. We may pray. We may ask for things. But we don't wait until God sends the answer. Remember that verse we read earlier? Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. Some people don't get it because they don't wait for it. They don't wait for it. If you'll just be patient and wait, it'll get there. Sometimes you have to wait on the Lord. You have to wait on. Now remember, you're in a hurry, but he's not. We get in a hurry about everything. He's not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry whatsoever. He says, you wait on me. And the Bible says there in Lamentations, for those people that will do that, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Good. You can get ahead of God in a lot of ways. Sometimes I believe I've known people that got ahead of God when it came to marriage. They got in a hurry to get married, and they didn't. They asked God for a mate, but they didn't wait on God. They basically said, Lord, I picked one out. This one's okay, right? No, you need to wait on God. You need to wait on God. Hey, there's a lot of times we have decisions to make and we pray about it. And you say, well, I'm not sure what to do. Ask the Lord, but wait till He gives you the answer. Wait till He gives you the answer. Don't get in a big hurry about it, all right? Wait on the Lord. You wait on Him. The Bible says it's good. He's good to them that wait. If you'll wait for Him, He'll give you some good things. He can bring them to you. And notice, for the soul that seeketh Him. For the soul that seeketh Him. That's the one that gets the good things. If you'll wait on Him and then you'll seek Him, He'll give you those good things. You say, well, that's favoritism. No, because every one of us can wait. Every one of us can seek Him. But that's our choice. We make a choice in life. Or am I going to wait on Him? Or am I going to seek Him? Or I'm going to just go ahead and do my own thing, not worrying about what He thinks. Well, don't get excited if the good things don't come your way, all right? But they were available. You just didn't wait on Him, all right? You just didn't wait on Him. Boy, you've got to do that. The goodness of God is there. It is everlasting. It's satisfying, all right? It never runs out. It shows no favoritism. But I'll tell you, it goes beyond that. And I'll be honest with you, if there's one reason and one reason only, or there were only one reason to thank Him for His goodness, this is it. Would you go to Romans chapter 2? We were there a while ago. Would you go back with me to Romans chapter 2? And I want you to see this verse and think with me. If there's no other reason given in the Bible why we ought to be thankful for the goodness of God, this is it. This is it. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Hey, if there's no other reason, that right there ought to suffice for us thanking God for His goodness. His goodness leads us to repentance. His goodness, you say, well, how's that happen? One thing, His goodness causes Him to give us more time to repent. To repent. All right? And you say, well, what in the world are you talking about? Repent. We're talking about asking God to forgive you for your sin and changing your way. All right? Changing your way. To repent not only means to say, Lord, I'm sorry, but it means to say, I'm going to try not to do that again. I'm going to change the way I'm doing. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Hey, I don't know if you've ever noticed. Have you ever noticed how many people are stubborn? Now, not you, of course. I've never had a problem of being stubborn, ever. All right? I'm being facetious, all right? We're stubborn people. People say, well, I'm kind of hard-headed. I almost want to say, show me somebody who's not, okay? Because in our own way, most of us are. We're a little bit on the hard-headed side. We're stubborn. And the Lord almost has to smack us a few times to get our attention. Hey, but it's the goodness of God that He gives us that time to come to Him and repent. To come to Him and repent. I've asked this many times, and on maybe a handful of people that I've known have said to me, preacher, the first time I understood the gospel, the very first time I understood that I needed to trust Christ as my Savior, I got saved. Most of us didn't do that. Most of us put it off. Most of us put it off. I don't know how many times I've sat down with people and taken my Bible and showed them what the Bible says, where the Bible says we've all sinned. We've all sinned. And I've looked at that person, and that person said, yes, preacher, I know I've sinned. I know I've broken God's law. I know that. And then I would take them over there to Romans 6:23, where the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And explain to them from the Word of God that is not just physical death, but it's eternal death in a place called hell. That's the price on our sin. All right? But the good news is the gift of God's eternal life. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What a deal. I've taken people down there and I said, "You realize you're a sinner?" "Yes, sir, I know I have." "You understand God says there's a price on sin?" "I understand that, preacher. But do you realize Jesus Christ died for you? He went to the cross and paid your sin debt?" "Yep, I understand that." Then to take them over there to Romans chapter 10, where the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And they say, and I say, "Do you believe God would save you? Do you believe what he says?" "Yes, sir, I believe he would." I said, "Well, look, would you call on him right now and ask him to save me?" "No, I believe I'll wait a while." I don't know how many people I've heard say that to me. "No, I'll wait a while. I'm not quite ready. I need to take care of something or this or that or whatever." And they turn down the gift of God and they put it off. And I would for a moment think, "You're so stupid." But I remember me. I remember me when I got under conviction and God was dealing with me and I knew I needed to get saved. And I wouldn't do it. I put it off. Put it off. Why? You remember that hard-headed? You remember that stubborn? I don't know if that's what it is, but it's something in there. If it's Satan, I'm not sure. But we put it off. But what does God do? "You had your chance, buddy." "No, I'm glad he didn't do that. I'm so glad it wasn't like, I'm so glad it wasn't like a timeshare appointment. You know, here you are, you're on the timeshare deal. This is it. If you don't take it today, you can't get it. Right now, this is your only chance. No pressure. Take it now or leave it." Hey, it's not that way. The goodness of God. The goodness of God says, "I'll give you another chance. I'll give you another chance." But you know what? It's not just salvation. It's not just salvation. I think the goodness of God causes us to consider him and his desires about our life. Even after you've gotten saved. We here who have trusted Christ as our Savior, we've disappointed him. We've let him down. When we could have tried it, we could have obeyed him, we didn't do it. And we messed up in life. We just messed up in life. Now, we were his child. But what did he do? The goodness of God. The goodness of God led us to repentance, to come back to him. It's like the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son had gone to his dad and said, "Dad, I'm tired of waiting on you to kick the bucket. I want my inheritance right now." And so the father gave it to him, and the Bible tells us he went out and wasted it. Blew it. I know people, if they won the lottery tomorrow, in 10 years they'd be broke. And I don't care whatever the lottery's running at right now, okay? I have no idea. But if they won it, they'd be broke in 10 years. That's the prodigal son. He had the inheritance, but he wasted it. But he came to himself and he said, "You know what? I think I'll go back to my father's house. Go back to my father's house." And it's in that story you see the goodness of God. Because you see that dad, when he saw that son a long way off. A long way off. And he said, "I'll sit here and make that rascal show up and drag all the way up here." Oh, he didn't do that, did he? The Bible said he ran to meet him. Ran to meet him, threw his arms around him, welcomed him home, and his son started His son started the whole deal. Dad, I'm not worthy to be your son. And Dad said, hey, bring out the coat, bring out the shoes, put the ring on his finger, and kill the fatted calf. Why? The goodness of God. The goodness of God. Hey, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. It leads us to repentance. Oh, thank God for his goodness. Hey, I've been that one that wandered off some in life. I'm glad I could come back. Glad I could come back. I've preached to you on numerous times. There have been people that have left our church and quit coming to church. But I don't tell you, if they ever showed up in the door, we're not going to say, who's that? Why are they back here? No, it's going to be, boy, it's good to see you. We're glad you're here. I'm not going to kick you down. Why? Because we've benefited from the goodness of God. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. It leads us to repentance. Boy, if there's one thing we ought to be thankful for, we ought to be so grateful for the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Now you say, preacher, I don't know. I'm not sure. I've heard and I've listened to what you said, but man, I don't know about that. Well, let me get your attention to Psalm chapter 34. Would you go to the 34th Psalm? Psalm 34, here's what I say to you. You say, I'm not sure about all of that. I'm not sure that it's available to everybody. It seems like other people get more of the goodness than I have. And it seems like they get it more than I do. Are you at Psalm 34? Look at verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You say, man, I'm not sure. All right, then here's the invitation. Try. Taste and see. Taste and see. Taste and see. This young lady that's here has just recently moved here from Wyoming. My brother and I used to take vacations and we'd go out west, and if we heard about something, we'd go look. And one time we were at a campground. I think we were in Wyoming at the campground, and we heard about this ice cream store in Butte, Montana. And they said they had black ice cream. And I said, we got to try that. I'd never seen it before. I've never seen it since. But we drove to Butte, Montana. We found the ice cream shop. I'm glad Butte, Montana is not like Dallas or Fort Worth. It made it easier to find the ice cream shop. And we went in, and sure enough, man, they had a bucket of it. It was black. I mean, black as coal. Black as that speaker right there. And I said, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it. But I didn't leave it all to chance. I said, my first dip, I'm not sure if I had. If they had it, I got black walnut. I got a double dip cone, and I would have got black walnut on the bottom. And on top, they put that black ice cream. And I've tasted it. I tasted it. You said, what was it like? Exactly what they said it was. It was licorice. Black licorice ice cream. Did you like it? No. But I ate it. You said, why? So I could stand here tonight, 50 years later nearly, and say, I've eaten black ice cream. I didn't enjoy it, but I endured it. But I tasted it. But there's been other things. There's been other things in life where I looked at it and I thought, well, that doesn't look real good. My mom used to make gumbo. And that filet gumbo, everybody's gumbo recipe is different. But that filet gumbo, it would have a green scum on it. I mean, that's the only way to describe it. It looked like pond water, you know, when it's got algae in it, all right? And I'm looking at it, and I thought, I'm not sure about that. But I tried it. Could I have seconds, please? Taste and see. Taste and see. You're here tonight, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure about that. I've heard you talk about the goodness of God. I've heard you say his goodness is to everybody, but I'm not sure it's that way. And I'm not sure that he will do that and he will give that to me and be good to me. Taste and see then. You just try him. You just try him out. He'll do everything he says he'll do. Everything he says he'll do. I've been trying him out now for 60 plus years, all right? I started as a little kid. And as a little kid, I was just like other little kids. I was trusting, and what I was told, I believed it, and I tried it. I'm glad I approached the Lord that way as a child, because I found out he'd do what he said. He'll do what he said. And I've gone through life, and I kept trying. I kept tasting, and I kept seeing, and it's always been good. Always been good. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God. Hey, I'm so glad he's good and he didn't kill me when he should have. When he should have. You said, preacher, what do you do? What did you do? That ain't none of your business. It's between me and God. But I'm glad he didn't kill me. He was good. He was good. And whatever you try to think it was, you'll never guess it, all right? So you quit worrying about what I've done and think about you, would you? Think about you. Hey, he's good. He didn't kill us when he could have. Instead, he gave us a chance to repent. He gave us a chance. He just keeps on giving good things. Just keeps on. Have you thanked him lately for his goodness? Have you just really thanked him lately for that goodness? Oh, man. One thing after another, piling it on, just piling it on. The goodness of God. Have you tried it? I challenge you tonight. Try it. Try it.